Hello, and welcome to Hattin' Around, where we talk about all things hats, from theatrical hatters to milliners for the social elite. Hi, I'm Leanne Frederick, and we're going to explore the fascinating world of hats and headpieces, the history as well as the how-to of today. Episode 2 is about my field trip to Luton, a hatting town north of London. It was autumn, and I was surprised with an invite to join Edwina Ibbotson and another apprentice from the shop who was training from Hong Kong. Her name is Mi. Hopefully that doesn't get too confusing. On a field trip to Luton, which is a town about 40 miles from South London, but it takes about an hour and 45 minutes to get there. We were going to go visit three places. Boonen Lane, which are the blockmakers. Baxter, Hart, and Abraham. They do felts, straws, and Petersham supplies. And Randall Ribbons, and they do flowers and feathers, and they have a huge array of different colors of cinema. One morning, we met at Edwina's shop on Queenstown Road in South London, and we drove to Luton in Edwina's light blue vintage Mercedes. Now, that is an experience unto itself, because this old Mercedes takes me about 10 minutes to figure out how to do the seatbelt. It's an odd hook and magnet device. Despite our hour and 45, I think it was closer to 2 hours journey, to get there, we arrived mid-morning at our first destination. Boon and Lane are block makers. The hat block is generally a block of wood that has been carved or, in many cases, sculpted into a shape or form that the milliner or hat maker can then pull either a piece of felt or some form of straw over it to create the base, either the crown, the part that goes on your head, or the brim, the part that sticks out, parts of a hat. We are at Boonen Lane, and there we walk across the front down a little side walkway and in through a door at where you are greeted with floor to ceiling wood, sawdust, saws of every different kind of shape and size that you could imagine. We were greeted by Alan and Steve Lane. Steve is the son of the founder. And Alan is his friend and cohort in this business. Alan was doing the woodblock carving, and Steve is handling the sand packing to do molten aluminum. Now, aluminum is interesting, partially because Americans say aluminum and the English say aluminium, and this is not just a pronunciation change. There's actually an additional I in the English version, which explains why it's said differently. So anyway, they were great. They were both so generous with their time. Alan showing us the different stages of a hat, from rough cuts to, you know, to finer cuts to the sanding, finishing. And Steve showed us, you know, let us touch the different grades of sand, from the, you know, the coarse sand to a finer packed sand that they use to make the shape when they pour the molten aluminum into. It's fascinating stuff. In my hat career so far, I've actually done very little blocking at this point and was really somewhat dependent on Edwina to give me some coaching on what did I want to get while I was here for my first custom-made hat block. And I chose a large, actually huge, a downward flat brim. It's about a 45-degree slope, and an oval head shape with a flat top crown, slightly rounded on the top edges. I already had a domed crown. That's the one crown I did have. And I got a size 22.5-inch block because although I'm a 23, there are some tricks for helping you go up a size, but it's harder to go down a size. So I was excited with my order, and Leanne, but me from Hong Kong, had her turn at ordering several pieces, some of similar to mine. I think she got a couple more than I did. And then it takes weeks, and you have to go home without them. And weeks later, shortly before Christmas, Edwina came back to the shop one day with are brand new, freshly varnished blocks. Mine were a gorgeous, shiny, golden yellow. And the exciting part was my name was stamped on it with the year stamped on it. I was super excited. Couldn't wait to get them home. However, I ride my bike to work at Edwina's, and that was going to be very difficult to do, to take that massive block home. I should go weigh it. I don't know how much it weighs. But I did take my crown block, but I had to bring a furoshiki with me on the bus. A furoshiki, I'll put a link in it. It's the Japanese art of wrapping, using wrapping cloths rather than bags. So I brought a large linen furoshiki with me, and that helped get my hat block home on the bus a few days later. So the next stop for the day was at a place called Baxter, Hart & Abraham. Their tagline is suppliers to the millinery trade. This place was tidy and well organized, and for a textile junkie like me, it was a thrill to be able to touch all of the different types of felts. The wool felts are very low fuzz. Fur felts were a bit fuzzier and absolutely divine. And then there's really super fuzzy ones called Melseline. I don't know if I'm saying that right. And those are super long fuzzy. They look kind of 70s to me. Then there's just colors of all, a whole rainbow of them in different, for each of the different types of felts. And I don't know if any of you've ever been shopping with me, but my shopping strategy goes something like this. I walk around and I take one or multiple of everything that I like or am interested in. And if I have a cart, I fill up my cart and I go around. And then when I get to where I think I'm about done, I kind of run a mental total of how much things are going to cost. And then I have a panic attack and get all anxious about how much it's going to be. And then I go around putting everything back until I get to a point where I feel like, okay, that's a reasonable amount of investment. And this day was no different than those others. On this day, I bought several wool felts. Wool felts are really versatile and aren't nearly as expensive as the fur felts. I figured it was a good way to practice on my new blocks without a huge financial impact. But I had two prize purchases. One was a cone, which are the smaller felt, or this one's, yeah, this is a fur felt, a smaller fur felt in gold, although I like to call it cognac. And a large capeline. Capelines are a much bigger hat form in that they'd be used if you had a big brim. And this one was in a gorgeous gray. Here's another note on American versus English. The gray with an A is American, and gray with an E is English. So, and I bought a bunch of Petersham to match. Petersham is a type of ribbon. Some people confuse it with grosgrain ribbon. It is not the same thing as grosgrain ribbon. You can tell Petersham because it's got little notches along the edges. It works well. You can curve it inside the edge of the crown to make a head fitting. Works great for ribbons and bows and stuff like that. So bought a bunch of matching colors for the felts, and I also bought myself a hat box or two. This gray fur felt that I got, I have envisioned it to be like my quintessential winter fur felt hat. It was going to have fairly simple crown, but a substantial brim to it. Unfortunately, I wasn't going to be wearing it that winter because it was going to take me a bit longer to get it made. For our last stop of the day, we went to Randall Ribbons, and they are the makers of all things feathers and flowers. Now, Randall Ribbons does have a minimum order. Their website says it's 30 pounds, and I did not ultimately end up spending anything at Randall Ribbons. I think mostly because I was completely overwhelmed at this point, having just placed a rather sizable order at the block makers and quite a few bits and pieces from the felt guys at Baxter, Hart & Abraham. And then honestly, at this point, I was so new and I just couldn't envision what it was I would want to do with the trimmings for any of my new hats. I ended up walking away with nothing. I would have probably bought a hat pin or something like that, but with the minimum order, I didn't get anything. I can't say the same for me from Hong Kong or for Edwina. It was such a wonderful day. I'm so thankful to Edwina for introducing me to these people and the places. For me coming along, because she, being a newbie like myself, was able to ask questions, and in the time she was taking to make her decisions about things, was able to buy me a little time to just look around and reflect on what I was and taking in. Since our field trip to Luton, I have heard the name mentioned several times with relation to the hat making and the millinery industry in England. Just before doing this podcast, I started looking into some of the history of Luton. It's fascinating. And I was going to add it into this podcast, but I think I'm going to save it and do a separate one. And it is oddly relevant because I am currently taking a strip straw class at Morley College with Jane Smith. And when I do my history of Luton, you will see how those two seem to go together. Thanks for joining me. Stay tuned for future podcasts on the history of Luton. And remember, interesting people wear hats. Hope you have a great day. Cheers. Bye-bye.